Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rota. Our guest today is Rebecca Firth. She's a food writer, photographer, and creator of the sweet focus blog Displaced Housewife, and now she's the author of The Cookie Book, Decadent Bites for Every Occasion. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Kara. Thank you so much for having me.
The food world is full of perfect pairings, like peanut butter and jelly, macaroni and cheese, and spaghetti and meatballs. Today, I want to tell you about a show about people that are each other's perfect match. It's called One True Pairing. Co-hosts Erica and Marissa talk about love, pop culture, and their favorite celebrity couples. It's full of hilarious banter, fun games, and happily ever afters. Check out One True Pairing wherever you get your podcasts. So I love cookies, as I think everyone does, and this time of year is a really fun time to talk about them because I feel like even before the holiday season, we're thinking about bake sales, we're thinking about having people over, we're thinking about all those occasions when you want a sweet treat, when you're entertaining, but you really don't want to go through the effort of making a complicated cake or a parfait, and cookies are just such an easy, portable go-to.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I'm obsessed. I've always been obsessed with cookies. I think they are one of the most perfect desserts because it's something that you could make really quick in the evening if you just want to satisfy like a craving. Or like you said, it's the perfect thing to take if you're meeting up with friends or have a mixer or a potluck. Like, and you can jazz them up a little bit if you want.
Yeah, so speaking of jazz, I want to talk a little bit about the Jazz Hands chapter because I feel like it's exemplary of just what a fun and kind of creative book this is when you're approaching a topic that's really been covered. There are so many cookies in the world, but how did you construct this book to try to make it new and fresh and give some new insights to people?
I really wanted to balance it between, like I said, like having that midweek craving and maybe not having a packed pantry, and then also really wanting to dazzle people. And whenever I'm creating recipes, I often try to think, like, what can I do to give this Jazz Hands, which is why I was like, there has to be a Jazz Hands chapter. And so all the cookies in there are like, I'm like, these are the cookies when you really want to impress people or dazzle, or you want to have like a really nice, exciting, different ending to a dinner. Like, I picture having like good friends over, these are the cookies that you would want to bring out.
You've come up with some really interesting flavor combinations in this book. Can you talk a little bit about kind of what your brainstorming process is like when you're coming up with new cookie recipes and how you decide which flavor combinations are going to be interesting to try?
Well, I do have some flavor combinations that I think I use relatively often. I love brown butter. I love muscovado sugar. It's just, I think it's so delicious in cookies and when you're baking. Molasses and ginger, I can't get enough, but that's kind of a classic. I love chocolate and coffee, specifically espresso, because it has a little more energy, I think, behind it. Hazelnuts, I didn't realize how much I loved baking with nuts until I worked on all these recipes. But I do want to give a nut disclaimer because there's so many people in my family that don't care for nuts that pretty much almost every recipe with nuts in here, you can omit the nuts. Almost, not all of them, but most of them. So I think those, the burnt sugar ginger, did you see those in the Jazz Hands chapter?
Yes, they look amazing.
So that, I actually was inspired by a recipe in the Ovenly cookbook where they make burnt sugar, and I just was so fascinated with the concept of it, and I thought, how interesting to make this super soft, chewy, spiced, you know, cookie, which would be really good around the holidays, even though it's not in that chapter, but then having that little bite in it, that little bit of like crisp, because that the burnt sugar is a little bit crispy and then it just kind of melts in your mouth. And then puffed quinoa was actually a big obsession of mine when I was working on the book. So it shows up in several of the recipes.
Texture is so important when you're biting into a cookie, whether it's, you know, that kind of chewy chocolate chip that people love or the crunchy and the soft in the middle. What are some of your tips for achieving the texture you're going for?
So I tend to like a pretty chewy cookie with not a ton of crispiness in it, right? So I do use a lot of bread flour in the cookies. That helps. Nobody really likes a dry cookie. So my doughs tend to be maybe a little, moisture isn't a word, but maybe damp. They tend to have more moisture in them. And to sort of tame that, you know, in terms of handling it, not only when you're making the balls, but also when you're putting it in the oven, you don't want it to spread too much. I'll often use the refrigerator or the freezer to help either the flours absorb some of that moisture, you know, through sitting in the fridge over time, or putting them in the freezer for a little bit before they go in the fridge. And then you end up with a softer cookie. Does that make sense? But it can still hold its shape while it's baking.
Every week on this show, I tell you about a cookbook that's making big waves in the food world. Good cookbooks matter because they bring families close and create great memories. So I want to tell you about another podcast that explores how books change lives called But That's Another Story. It's hosted by Will Schwelbe, who was a guest on this show back in April, and you might also know him as the founder of the recipe website Cookster.com. In each episode, Will talks to an influential guest about the book that changed their life. The guests share personal stories that connect their favorite books to events in their lives in ways you'd never expect. It's emotional, inspirational, and really moving. And every week, you'll come away with new books to add to your reading list. You can find But That's Another Story wherever you listen to podcasts. Just search for But That's Another Story. I always love to ask bloggers who then go on to write cookbooks. I feel like a big part of having a blog, and especially one with such a large and loyal following as yours has had, there's so much interaction, right, between you as the writer and your readers and them trying recipes and getting back to you with feedback and questions and tweaking things. What was it like to really kind of set the recipes for the cookbook in stone a little bit and publish them without that kind of interactive back and forth that maybe you were used to on the blog?
It is a little stressful. Only in that I wasn't stressed about maybe the flavor combinations or the types of cookies I picked, but I just find even now with something that's on the blog, I have made it for several years now, and then I can go, oh, you know what? I actually think, you know, doing this way might be better. So I'll go in and write a note. I'll leave the recipe the same, but I'll write a note like, hey, I've learned that if you, I don't know, add this ingredient to this, or if you pull back a little on this, that it's like this, so they can try it a new way. Having it completely set in stone, that was a little nerve-wracking, you know, when it goes off to the final proofreader and they're like, okay, this is the last time you could say anything. You're like, okay, I'm going to do like 1,000 Hail Marys right now.
What are some of your go-tos for, say, your kid has a bake sale tomorrow, you've completely forgotten, or you have to go to someone's house in an hour and you want to bring something? What are some of your go-tos for cookies that make use of what people are likely to have in their pantries and come together really quickly and easily?
I mean, I think I tend to go for something that would be quick and last minute. I usually will go for a classic. You know, something that is a general crowd pleaser. I think snickerdoodles, you know, nobody's ever sad when they eat a snickerdoodle.
So true.
I have a recipe in here for brown butter snickerdoodles that you can use muscovado sugar. And those are like, I've never met anyone that doesn't like that cookie. But I don't know that many people are generally always stocking muscovado sugar. So that wouldn't be one I would recommend for last minute. And then, I mean, chocolate chip cookies, I'm obsessed with them. I think they're the perfect thing to either just make up plain chocolate chip, or there's so many different things that you can tweak it to make it jazzy.
And I have to ask, when you're not eating or making or testing cookies, what is your other favorite dessert? What's the thing that you turn to when you need a break from the cookie world?
I would say say I'm really into cakes and cupcakes right now. And I would love to, I have some other bloggers that are so talented that I just love to watch their work. I would love to become like a more talented cake decorator. Like people that can really do it beautifully, I'm just in awe of their skills. So I can make a really great tasting cake and I think it looks good enough, but I'd love to be able to make it really spectacular.
Rebecca, it's such a great book, and it's full of just the kind of delicious, inspirational recipes that kind of make you want to get out the cookie sheets, even if you're not a baker, and try to do something a little bit different. So thank you for writing it, and thank you for sharing it with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me to talk about my book today.
Check out the book. It's out now, The Cookie Book, Decadent Bites for Every Occasion by Rebecca Firth. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.